Sister Linda Dearlove is a member of the Religious Institute of the Sisters of Mercy, known by their initials RSM. She's the founder of the Women at the Well in London, England, an initiative that cares for vulnerable women and girls caught up in street-based prostitution, homelessness, drugs, alcohol, violence, physical and mental ill health. Women at the Well provides the victims a uniquely holistic and multifaceted range of services in order to empower them to leave the streets and achieve their potential free from exploitation, exclusion, discrimination, abuse and neglect. Sister Linda was one of the speakers at a side event held on March the 21st at the United Nations headquarters in New York during the 60th session of the Commission on the Status of Women. The event, organized by the Holy See's permanent observer to the UN, Archbishop Bernardita Auza, examined some approaches to caring for women and girls who are working or living on the streets. In today's edition of The Backgrounder, we bring you extracts from this speech of Sister Linda Dearlove at the event.
I want to start by reminding us of those words of Pope Francis, particularly the fact that the form of human trafficking, forced labour, prostitution, or the trafficking of organs is a crime against humanity. For us, we would very clearly state that prostitution should be listed amongst those crimes. Women at the Well as an organisation began a number of years ago, and our main aim is to provide a supportive space for women whose lives are affected by prostitution, and particularly based on what we would look at as gospel values, developing evidence-based, holistic responses to their needs. So taking them in and enabling women to take hold of what their needs are and to respond to their needs through one place, one stop, rather than just sending them from one door to another door to another door. It's also important that we recognise the multiple layers of trauma that these women have experienced throughout their lives, most of which began in childhood. And it's our job to provide a space that allows them to deal with those things in their time frame and to define the things that they think are the most important. All of the services are provided for women in a women-only environment, because for most of those women, most of the exploitation they've experienced has been through men. They're enabled to begin healing by talking and sharing with each other and feeling heard in an environment that is supportive and safe. I think the other thing that's important to emphasise is that women need to be in an environment that they don't feel judged. For most of their lives, they're feeling judged by one person or another, including by themselves. And so creating that space where they feel that it's okay to disclose who they are and to share that is critically important for the women to deal with those issues and to begin to recognise that other possibilities exist. We see around 250 women each year, and a typical woman would be aged between 20 and 40. She has a childhood history of abuse or an experience of having a looked-after child herself, and she herself was looked after. She's currently involved in street-based prostitution or has a history of involvement. That prostitution may be about exchanging sex for favours, but we would include that on that continuum. She has an experience of domestic violence, of being raped, often has a history of involvement with substance use, alcohol or drugs. Quite often they are masking underlying mental ill health issues. She's often involved in the criminal justice system, often has a history of not being able to engage effectively with services. She feels judged by her peers and by society and often by herself. She's low self-esteem and very poor support networks. She has low motivation and finds it difficult to look into the future. I mentioned earlier the importance of developing a holistic and integrated response to her needs so that a woman, when she comes through the door, knows that we can respond by enabling her to get access to the services that she needs as quickly as possible, not by pushing her into services that we think she needs, but by helping her to identify what's right for her, by her priorities, not by ours. we began to realise the things about our service that really made a difference and enabled change to happen. So the things that helped them recover. One of those things that's important is what the environment looks and feels like. So it's important that it's homely and doesn't feel like an office. It's important that it feels safe and warm, that there aren't images of rules all over the walls. From our service, a woman can't be excluded or barred. We might change how she engages with the services, but she'll never be rejected or turned away. In terms of an initial meeting, that conversation needs to be, why have you come here today? What's important for you? And then begin to look at what the rest of those needs are. In doing that, it's important that the very difficult questions are only asked once. Creating that safe space, physically and emotionally, begins to help a woman move towards that healing because she begins to build up trust and feel that she's respected and cared for. And in doing that, you can begin to deal with some of those difficult issues. And she begins to believe and hope that future is possible. It's important that women are part of enabling their own and each other's recovery, not that we are the fixers. By doing that, actually, they are able to work more productively with the women too, because women are able to embrace their other needs. Prostitution for the women we work with is not a choice. Most of the women became involved whilst they were still under the age of 18. 70% of the women involved in street-based prostitution were originally looked after children in the care system. They've experienced abuse physically and sexually. We cannot get away from those facts. I think it's important to say that prostitution is not about sex. The women tell us it's about exploitation, it's about violence, and it's about abuse. Most of the women we deal with have at some point been raped and sexually violated. Most of them are involved in problematic drug use, but that's in order to cope with the situations they find themselves in. And 68% meet the criteria for post-traumatic stress disorder in the same range as victims of torture undergoing treatment. I think that's a terrible indictment on the situation. I think the other thing we can't avoid is the impact legislation in a country has on whether or not a woman is able to exit prostitution effectively. In our country, in the United Kingdom, you know, it's true to say that prostitution is regulationist. The exchange of sex for money itself is not illegal, but there are certain circumstances where it is. Primarily to be poor and be on a street corner, it's illegal then to exchange sex for money. But much of the rest of it is not illegal. Several years ago, antisocial behaviour orders were introduced, and they were introduced really to deal with gang culture on the streets. But many areas discovered very quickly that if they used them to manage prostitution, it would begin to move the problem away, but it increased the problem for the women. You cannot go to prison as a result of prostitution in the United Kingdom, but for a breach of an antisocial behaviour order, you can. I think it would be no secret then to say that our current legislation is a long way from focusing on human rights. We believe that the buying of the sexual act should be criminalised in order to tackle the demand. And in that way, then, we would be left to be able to deal directly, if the act of selling the sex was decriminalised, that women would be able to access services much more effectively. But that would also involve the need to criminalise all aspects of organising, managing prostitution. So recognising the underlying causes of inequality and exploitation, which moves us as an organisation to support what is referred to as the Nordic model. I want to come back to that address of Pope Francis, because in the end of that address, as well as talking about crimes against humanity, he said, the victims of this are from every form of life, but most are found among the poorest and the most vulnerable of our brothers and sisters. And I think in reality, that is true. Poverty is the greatest force for women into prostitution. In September past 2015, I was part of the International Symposium in Rome that was drawn up of expert participants from 42 countries across the world. And that was to develop the action plan in the light of Francis's teaching around the phenomenon of children and women earning a living or living on the roads or streets. In our audience with the Pope at the end of that, he urged us and the Church that we cannot remain silent in front of this sad phenomenon of children and women earning a living or living on the streets.
That was Sister of Mercy Linda Dearlove, founder of Women at the Well, London, England, talking at a UN event in New York on March the 21st on caring for women and girls victims of street-based prostitution and homelessness. This has been The Backgrounder, a weekly feature on the life of the Catholic Church around the world, brought to you by Vatican Radio's English Service for Asia.